Temptations is something that comes to us all, and there was one boy whose name was Jimmy, and Jimmy he loved to go swimming, and he did it in so much after school. He went swimming, and he did it every day, so he didn't do any homework, and that's not very good. So his mom told Jimmy that you can't go swimming. You need to come home and do your homework. And so Jimmy went swimming anyway. And he came home. He was wet in his hair. And the mom was waiting there for him. And she saw that he'd been swimming. So she told him that, Jimmy, why did you go swimming when I told you you were not supposed to? And Jimmy, of course, he couldn't say that he hadn't done it, so he said, well, Mom, I couldn't help it, because I was tempted to go swimming. And then Mom looked at him very curiously and said, well, how come I saw that you were putting your swimming trunks in your bag before leaving for school this morning? And Jimmy, he was thinking, well, Mom, I put them in there just in case I would be tempted. And I think many times it is the same with us, that many times that we fall for temptations, it's not because they're too hard to resist, but it's because we're inviting temptation. Like, we are putting the swimming trunks in the backpack just in case we would be tempted, you know? And so these are some of the principles I'd like to look at. Just some foundational basics. You know that we are living in a world where there's a great controversy between good and evil. And let's read one of the texts that talks about that in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, after the Corinthians comes the Galatians, and then Galatians you have Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 through 13, it says this: For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So, question, what do we struggle against? Is it against humans, against flesh and blood? No? Now, I know it's not very Finnish to answer when a person is asking, but you feel free to do it. If I ask a question, just scream it out. And yeah. We don't fight against people, right? And sometimes that's hard to believe, but that's what the Bible says. We fight a spiritual battle against darkness, against the devil and his host. And this becomes very real when it comes to temptations. You know, it's going on, this battle is going on in our heads. It's as if we had, you know, in the cartoons, you have the evil angel and the good angel on one of each of your shoulder, and you can relate to it. It's like an experience. One suggestion says this, and the other suggestion says you should do the right thing. So this battle is going on in our minds, and Jesus wants us to conquer. He wants us to live victorious lives. He doesn't want us to fall for temptations all the time. We know that from Revelation chapter 3, and the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Here's a promise to those who will overcome, who will win in this battle. It says, He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now that's quite amazing. If we overcome, we will Jesus will confess us before the Father and all the angels. That's quite nice. I know that, or if we look at verse 21, there's also another promise to the overcomer. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, how many of you would like to sit on Jesus' throne? Praise the Lord. Then we need to overcome. We need to learn how to overcome temptations, how to resist temptations. Now, just to be clear, we don't earn our salvation through resisting temptations or earn our salvation by doing good works, but we are saved by grace alone through faith alone, right? When Jesus he died for us, for our sins, and when we accept Jesus into our lives through faith, that is how we are saved. And we are accepted as if we hadn't sinned. We don't need to do any good works. You know, many times we think that, oh, I need to become a good person before I can go to Jesus. But that's not the case. Jesus says, you can come to me exactly the way you are. So Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you remain as you are. It's like a doctor, you know. If any one of you have been sick, and if you go, like maybe it's a really serious sickness. Let's say it's malaria or something, and you're starting to get sick, and you start feeling sicker, and you think to yourself, you know, I need a doctor, actually. But let me just get a little better before I go to the doctor. Is that a good idea? I need to try myself to get better, and then I go to the doctor. Now, that's the way many of us think. We think, oh, I need to, before I go to Jesus, who is the physician for sin, before I go to Jesus, I need myself to fix my life first, you know, and then I can go to Jesus. That's wrong. We need to go to Jesus. He's the only one that can fix our lives. But when we have him in our lives, then he's going to fix us. The physician is going to make us well, right? So that's what it's all about. How to resist temptations, how to grow as a Christian, how to live a victorious life. And that's what we're going to talk about. So temptations can be everything. It can be things like, you know that your struggles, you know the temptations that you have. Maybe it's speaking evil of others. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it is pornography. Maybe it is smoking. Maybe it is other habits that enslave your life and that you want to get rid of and overcome. And these principles will help you in overcoming these sins by God's grace. So let's look at them. Let's start in James with the first one. James, the book of James in the New Testament, just after Hebrews. James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says there, James chapter 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? Now, many of us, we read the last part of that verse, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's something we need to do. But what are we to do before we resist the devil, according to this verse? Yeah? Submit to God, isn't that right? Is it possible to resist the devil without submitting to God? It is impossible. The devil is much stronger than you, and if you think you can resist the devil before submitting to God, it is completely impossible. And so the first principle in how to resist temptations is to pray. Is to seek God, to submit to God, and to pray. If you want to write down another text, you can write Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, where it says that prayer is a very essential part of the armor of God. That we should resist the devil with prayer. Now, praying is maybe one of the hardest things to do in temptation, isn't it? If we should be honest. Now, when we are tempted to do something bad, that's maybe the last thing we're thinking of doing, right? Like, oh, I really want this, you know? You feel this, like, ah, I want to do that thing, whatever it is. And to turn to God? No, no, no. It's better I do it first. I get the nice pleasure from it or whatever it is. And then I go confess to God. That's how we think. But to pray in the moment of temptation, that is powerful. And that can really help you. I know that for myself, but you know, Joseph, he was tempted, right, to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife entreated him, like, come and sleep with me, and Joseph, finally, he what did he do? You know the story? He ran away, right? He didn't just linger there, but he ran away. And that's the same that we do when we run to God, you know. Sometimes we are so hesitant to do it because we, instead of running away like Joseph, we lay down and we crawl away and we hope that temptation will catch up with us, right? But if we want to be victorious, seek God and pray that you will be able to resist. And you might say, well, I've done that, and the temptation comes back straight away. Well, continue to do it. Don't just do it once. I mean, the devil is not going to give up so easily just because you say a prayer once, then everything is going to be fine. No, you need to constantly submit. Like, you submit to God, you say, God, please help me to overcome this, and then 5 minutes later, the temptation comes back even stronger. You do the same. You say, okay, Lord, you see this temptation that's coming over me, and I feel like I really want to do this, but Lord, help me to overcome, and I want to give these feelings to you, and you can do that, and that's the most important decision. But after we submit to God, we are also to resist the devil, right? According to this verse. And how do we resist the devil? Well, there are four other ways that we can do it. So the first one was pray. The second one is resist evil thoughts. Resist evil thoughts. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. If we want to gain victory, the battle needs to begin in our heads. It cannot begin in our actions. It needs to begin in our minds. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse... Well, let's read verse 3 through 5. It says, Paul is writing, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, how many thoughts did Paul bring into the captivity of Jesus Christ? Half of them? It said there, right? That he brings every thought into captivity. At least that's what mine says. Does yours say something else? No? Wonderful. This is amazing. Paul did not allow his mind to run rapid, you know? He didn't allow his mind to think about anything. But he controlled his mind. He said, all of my thoughts, they need to be brought, they need to be captured, and they need to be put... chains. We need to put chains on them, and they need to be led to Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, you choose, you tell me what to do with these thoughts. And that's the power that Paul was talking about. So many, many times we think that, well, if it's in the mind, it doesn't hurt anyone, right? I can imagine all sorts of things in my mind, but as long as I don't do it in action, that's okay. That's not true. It is in your mind that you commit the sin to begin with. And it is therefore, if we want to resist the temptations of doing the action, we need to resist the thought whenever it comes. So when the evil thought comes, that, oh, you should do this, we are not to linger there and say, oh, yeah, that would be really nice to do it. And we start thinking more and more about it. No, we should expel that thought right away. And Martin Luther, how many of you know of him? Okay. You know what he said? He said that you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head, right? But you can stop them from building a nest in your hair, right? And he talked about temptations in this context. Like, it's not a sin to be tempted. And how do we know that? Well, Jesus was tempted, right? So, and he was without sin. So it's not a sin to be tempted, but it is when you take that thought and you let the bird build a nest in your hair. That is a sin. Now, when those evil thoughts came to Jesus, he didn't linger on them. He expelled them right away. And he wasn't thinking like, oh, yeah, that would be really nice to have a big joint, and that would be so good and tasty, but oh, I'll not do it. No. As soon as that thought came into his mind, he was like, away. It's not here. Yeah. And that's the way we need to do as well. If you look at... this might be a hard thing, though. Because if I tell you, don't think of a pink elephant, what are you thinking about? Now stop it. Don't think about it. Control your thoughts. Is that an easy thing to do? Not always. Now, I'll give you one weapon that really has helped me in my struggles with this, and that's song. That's spiritual songs. That is one powerful weapon to control your thoughts. At least I cannot think an evil thought and think about, you know, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. If I start singing that song, that evil thought has a very difficult time finding its place, right? Now, you should try it, and I think it will work for you. Now, if you have a habit of listening to bad music, however, this is going to work against you. Because what if you've been listening to music that encourages, let's say, sexual thoughts, okay? Now, are there such songs in the world today? There's everywhere. I mean, I go to the gym to work out, and I cannot be in there without anything else in my ears. I need to have earphones or whatever, or earplugs, because those songs that they're playing is so emphasizing sexuality. And if I fill my mind with that, and then I get an evil thought, and then I try, oh, let me sing a song, and then one of those songs comes into my mind, is it going to help me resist that temptation? Totally not. So we need to fill our minds with good music, fill our minds with spiritual, uplifting music that will lift our minds towards God. And if we do that, this will be a powerful weapon in controlling your thoughts. So you should try it. Jesus, he said the same thing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Let's look at that. As a young guy, I know that one of those hardest temptations that young men face are impure thoughts when it comes to sexuality, right? Maybe you women don't have so much of that problem, but maybe you do. But Jesus said, at least, he's referring to the men, and he says in Matthew 5, verse 28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So do you see again that Jesus is saying we can commit sin in our hearts? We can commit sin in our minds, so to speak? So if we're thinking, well, as long as it's not in reality, that's okay. No, no, no. Jesus is very clear that he says if you've done it in your heart, if you've done it in your mind, you've broken the commandment. And so that's why the battle needs to start in the mind. It needs to start right there. And if we read things, if we hear things, if we see things that encourages these thoughts, now that is going to totally destroy our ability to resist temptation. So get rid of those things, things that lead to temptation. We'll get to that later. Now, this doesn't just apply to the men. It also applies to the women. And because even though men, they have this strong temptation often to look at women, to imagine things about women, and especially if they are dressed in a way which is not very, maybe necessarily appropriate, this temptation becomes even harder. But for the women, your temptation is to want to be that object that the men desire. Am I right? That there is a temptation that I want to get the approval, I want to get the approval that I am that person that can get these men going. Even though you don't want them to think necessarily those ways. But this is a temptation. So in the same way, you have temptations, women, and men have temptations, and we all need to face them. And it needs to start in our minds. We need to start fighting these temptations in our minds. Are we on the same page? Mm-hmm. Wonderful. The third principle is to think about the consequences of your actions. Think about the consequences. Psalms 84 and verse 11. Psalms 84 and verse 11. It might be verse 12 if you have a Finnish Bible. It says there, Psalms 84, verse 11 or 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So how many good things does God withhold from us? None. Do you believe that? None of us believes that, to be honest. Because if we didn't believe it, or if we did believe it, we would never sin, right? Why do we sin? Well, we think that sin is something good, something that will bring us pleasure, something that will bring us joy, and that's actually something nice. But here we see that God is not withholding anything good from us. Now, is God withholding some things from us? Does he say that you shall not do this or you shall not do that? Yeah, he does, right? So what does that say about those things? Well, it says that those are not good things, right? So if he... This is a big, big misunderstanding, and I really feel strongly about this, because so many of us, we have this picture of God that he's some kind of person, he just wants us to obey, and it's just because he's very arbitrary. But he loves us, and that's why he wants us to obey. When we look at the Ten Commandments, they're not a hindrance to joy, which I believed before. I thought, oh, if I keep the Ten Commandments, then I can't do this. I'm in a box, and I'll feel restrained. But that's not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the path to joy. Now imagine if everybody would keep the Ten Commandments in the world. Would that be a better place or a worse place?
Better.
It would be a better, right? Better. Much better. Everybody would be much happier. And this is the way. If you think about the Ten Commandments, you can imagine it as... let's pretend that joy is an ice cream. How many of you love ice cream? Okay, tofu ice cream, right? That's what I eat. Anyway, you have this ice cream, and that's joy. And we think, wow. Sometimes we think of God as this, as saying this, that, well, you know, if you clean your room, if you do these errands, then you'll get ice cream. You know, if we obey God, then he'll give us joy. But that's not how the Ten Commandments work. The Ten Commandments are the path to joy. It's not just a condition for joy. It's the path to joy. It is basically God's instruction on how to eat ice cream. You following? It's like, yeah, the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt stick your tongue out, and then you lick the ice cream, and then it tastes good. And that's the way that the Ten Commandments, we should view it. And the devil, he comes in and he says, well, that God, he just wants to take away your joy. And that's not the way you eat ice cream. The way you eat ice cream is you take the paper off of it and you eat the paper. Or you throw away the ice cream and you go down on your knees and you lick on the pavement. Mmm, that's all tastes good. And then we all believe him and, oh, yeah, I guess that's really good. And then we go down and we start licking on the pavement. And God comes in and he says, no, stop doing it. You'll get sick and then it's really bad for you and you're not allowed to do it. And the devil comes in and he says, wow, look at that mean God. He's trying to keep all the joy away from your life. And millions of people, they're just standing there licking on the pavement. They don't trust that God wants their best. They don't trust that God loves them. And so I know that this is very important. We need to trust God. We need to know that why he says things is because he wants us to be happy. He wants us to have a much greater life. And I know for fact, even though temptations can be hard to resist, if we do it, it is going to be so, our life is are going to be so much better, so much more free, so much more meaningful, and all these kinds of things. So sin never leads to joy. Sin leads to hurting others. It leads to guilt. It leads to all these sorts of things. So let's not believe the devil's lies about this. What do you say? So that's the third option, to consider the consequences, or to realize that actually sin is not going to save me. It's going to be, there are going to be negative consequences for this, and God wants to save me from it. The fourth principle in how to resist temptations is to not invite temptations. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. A very short verse. It says, nor give place to the devil. But what does that mean? Nor give place to the devil. That means that we don't invite temptations unnecessarily. If you think of Jimmy that I told you about in the beginning, he was putting his swimming trunks in his bag just in case he would be tempted. And that's the way that we need to resist temptations. We need to not put those swimming trunks in. We need to leave them out. We need to not plan on being tempted. And for example, there was one lady that wanted to stop smoking. And she was... She was sitting there and she was. She told a pastor there that, you know, I want to stop smoking, but I can't, it's impossible. And the pastor was saying that, well, have you tried? And she said, yeah, I've tried, and it doesn't work. It's impossible to stop smoking. And then the pastor said, well, what are you doing to stop smoking? Well, she said, when I come home, I take the cigarette package and I put it right here on the sofa table, right there, and I sit on the I sit there and I pray to God, Lord, please help me not to smoke, and help me not to take a cigarette. And then I look at it and I see, oh, it looks really good, and I take it up and I smell it, oh, it smells so good. Oh, Lord, help me to resist the temptation to smoke. And then I fall for it. And you see, it's impossible. And the pastor was scratching his head and he was thinking, what is this woman expecting of God? Is he expecting that God should send the angel Gabriel to come and kick in the door and take the cigarette package and flush it down the toilet for her? But as long as she has legs and arms that work, God expects her to do just that, right? God is not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves in that sense. So we need to not invite temptation, not make any provision for the flesh, as it says in Romans. Let's read that one also. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So that's what it means. To make provision for the flesh, that means that, I put out the cigarette package in case I would want a cigarette, you know. Or some person that wants to stop smoking, they like, I'm going to decide to stop smoking, but then they keep a store of cigarettes in their cabinet somewhere, just in case they would really, really need one, you know. So I've done lots of stop smoking classes, and the number one thing that the people need to do is get rid of all of their cigarettes. If they are trying to quit smoking and still have cigarettes here and there, it's totally impossible. They need to get rid of it, and they need to stop walking by that store where they always buy their cigarettes, you know, because it's a habit. They need to break their habits. So if we're trying to quit watching pornography, okay, then we need to not be alone where there is internet access. Now that's maybe impossible in today's society, but still we need to try as far as possible to avoid situations where we know we will be tempted. And by God's grace, if we do that, then when the temptation comes, and we don't go into it voluntarily, then he can help us to overcome in those cases. So if you have a problem with flirting, then don't put yourself in the society of those people that you're always flirting with, or whatever it means that whatever struggle you have. God will help you if you do what you can do on your own part. So that's number four. The number five, the last one, is to claim God's promises. To claim God's promises. And this one is powerful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's just repeat. Does anyone know what was the first one?
Pray.
That's right. The second one?
Resisting
evil thoughts. The third one? Yeah.
Consider the consequences of your actions.
That's right. Consider the consequences of your actions. The fourth one? No. Huh? Is not to invite temptation, or not put yourself in a make provision for the temptation. And the fifth one is claiming God's promises. And we find one of these promises here in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now this text we should memorize. God, will he give us a way out of temptation? In how many of cases? All of them. Isn't that amazing? There's no temptation that's going to be too great for us. So whenever there is a temptation, we know that God has already approved it. He knows that we can bear it. That's why he told us, okay, the devil is allowed to tempt you, but just beyond this measure. You know the story of Job? The devil had to get permission to tempt Job, didn't he? From God. And then you see the same thing is true in our lives. God needs to approve. He needs to look at he looked at Job and he said, well, Job, he's a really righteous man. He can take this much of temptation. So you can do that. Satan can do that, but you cannot take his life. That's what he said. He put some restrictions on what the devil was going to do. And the same thing is true with us. We're not, according to this promise, we will not be tempted above what we can bear. But God will make a way of escape every time. And so when we are in this temptation, we think, oh, there's no way out. All the doors are locked. But well, maybe there's a window open. Okay? Maybe there's some way out of the temptation. If we just look. If we just ask God, please show me. You promised that there would be a way out. Where is it? I've done that many times. I said, God, now this temptation is too strong, and I think I need to give into it. Where's the temptation? Where's the door out? And God was like, have you looked up there? I was like, oh, all right. Thank you, Lord. He'll show you. Okay? This is powerful. Another promise, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. This one we all need to memorize here before we leave. It's very short. Maybe someone knows it. Philippians 4:13. Does someone know what it says there? Without cheating?
I can do everything.
Good. But you're reading. That's good. You can do it. But this one you need to memorize. I can do everything. You can say it again.
I can do everything through Him who gives me strength.
Wow. How much can we do through Christ?
Everything.
Everything. Now, that's everything except stop smoking, right? No, it didn't say that.
Everything.
Not everything except stop watching pornography. No, didn't say that. Everything we can do through Christ that strengthens me. This is amazing. This is powerful. And we need to claim it. We need to memorize it. It says in my Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Once again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe it? Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's found where? Philippians 4 and verse 13. Amen. That's right. Memorize this. This will come in handy. I know it for a fact. Let me share with you an experience. I was in a faraway country, visiting some of Hulda's relatives, and we were staying in their place. And during this relative of her, he was a party person, very much so. Had girls there back and forth and so on. Well, I was up one day and I was going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and apparently. These walls bedroom was right next to the bathroom, and the walls were very thin. And there was a powerful, now they were having a great love time there together. And I was there, I came into the bathroom, and I started to realize this. And there came a strong temptation in my mind to commit adultery in my heart. Okay, I'm being open with you. There was a strong temptation to commit adultery in my heart in that sense. And I was a little panic stricken because I was there in the bathroom and I couldn't just leave. And I was thinking, oh, what should I do? How to resist temptations? And I thought, I can't start singing. That would be really weird. what should I do? Can I run away from the situation? No, I'm trapped here. what can I do? And I started going through the list. I think of the consequences. Yeah, it doesn't help me. This is an overwhelming temptation. The only thing I could think about in that moment was this promise in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And I was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I started repeating it in my mind. I said, Lord, this you gotta. You've said this, and I just said it over and over again. And there is power in these promises. When I started saying that, the temptation broke instantly. Instantly, there was totally no temptation around me anymore in that wine. The moment I started to claim this promise, and it was broken off, and it was, I mean, they kept going, but it didn't matter to me one bit. There is power in these promises, and that's why I share this. And you can try it. You can try to claim God's promise wherever you are at, and this is going to help you in your spiritual life, I'm sure. Does anyone think that they can profit from any of these five principles that we've shared today? Praise the Lord. Is it your will to be an overcomer? Is it your will to be sit on Jesus' throne as we read? Amen. And we can do it. If we take these five principles into consideration, let's repeat them again. What were they? Number one?
Pray.
Number two? Resist evil thoughts, that's right. Number three? Think about the consequences, that's right. Number four? Do not invite temptation. Number five? And claim God's promise. Amen. All right, well, that's it. Let's have a prayer and pray that God will help us to do it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and that you have a living word, a powerful word that actually is real, and that we can claim your promises, that we can resist temptations not in our own power but in your power. Help us to remember these things when we come into temptations, so that we can live victorious lives, so that we can sit with you on your throne in your kingdom, and that you will confess our name before the Father and all the angels, just like you did with Job when you said that he was faithful in temptation. This is my prayer for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.